The Touching the Trail Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Touching the Trail Podcast, our weekly ritual of peace, presence, and perseverance. This week's guest, Jad Martinez, in episode 155. Before we jump into who Jad is, though, I just want to take care of a little business. There are two ways that you can support this show. You can go to touchingthetrail.com/donate to donate to the show. You can also go to targetreleaserecovery.com to pick up your very own Basecamp and Peak handheld deep tissue massage tools. And both those links are in the show notes. Now, who is Jad? Well, Jad is an ultra-runner who I met back in February when I ran with him and a few other guys and Luis Escobar in San Luis Obispo. It was when I was going to have Luis on the podcast, which I did back in February. And before we sat down to record, we went for about a 12-mile run together, Luis and I and the few other guys, which one of them being Jad. We had a great run together, chatted about a bunch of different things, got to know Jad a bit about what he's done, who he is, where he's been, that sort of thing. In 2016, he did and completed the Grand Slam of Ultras, which are the four original 100-mile Ultras, which is what the Western States 100, the Wasatch 100, Vermont 100, and the Leadville 100. And he did all four of those in 2016. And as long as I've known Luis Escobar, he has been telling me to have Jad on the show. And I met Jad again at the Born to Run Ultramarathons in May, and then I met him again at the Back on the Ranch Ultras in October, and I finally got around to having him on the show just a few weeks ago. We sat down to record at his beautiful house in Arroyo Grande, and it sits about 2.5 acres of pristine Central Coast land. Great views of rolling hills and the ocean. It really is a beautiful place. I did love it. We hung out, went for a run, had some coffee, sat down to record, and had a great time. We ran about 6 miles on the roads and a little bit in a little local park, which is kind of a weird park. It seems like that's the biggest park they could make, I guess, in Arroyo Grande or something. And then so they decided to fill it with trails, and it's not that big of a park. And there's just a handful of miles of trails in the park, but they're crisscrossing the park all over. It's like they wanted to pack in the most amount of trails as possible into a small area. So it's a little odd, but it was beautiful. Great running. Had a great time chatting about a bunch of different things on the run, about my life and my experience at Cal Poly in college. We talked about movies. We talked about books. We talked about running, of course. We talked about design, we talked about entrepreneurship, we talked about how I chose colleges. He was extremely impressed slash fascinated with the fact that I chose where I applied and ultimately where I attended, mainly based on what those schools had in terms of trail running options, and San Luis Obispo seemed to be the best option for that. And it was my number one school, and I got in, thankfully, and now I go there for college. So he was fascinated by that story. And so we had a lot of good laughs. We had a great time running and hanging out. And then we sat down for a podcast, and we talked about a bunch of different things. We explored his story. We explored the benefits of day-in, day-out consistency with running. We explored about learning from discomfort, working with the voices in our heads that tell us to stop when it hurts or when we're tired. Talked about learning from failure, engaging with nature. His life is a quote-unquote homesteader. He is trying his hand at some you might be a stretch to call it farming, but some gardening on his land there, and some just remaking of his land to make it more sustainable and useful food-wise for what him and his wife do and live there in their life in AG, in Arroyo Grande. We talked about the act of gardening. We talked about staying healthy and much more. So it is, thinking back now that I'm actually home now for the break, for winter break, so it's good to be back in Los Angeles. I've had a great time just in the 3 days that I've been back. I've already participated in a massive UTLA, which is the United Teachers of Los Angeles Union rally in downtown LA, in the heart of downtown LA. There's probably 10,000 people there or more. It was great. Something I've never experienced in that way before. Quite incredible. Really overwhelming in a good way. Tons and tons of people. I already gotten to some of the classic vegan restaurants that I love to go to in LA as I've returned, and some stores that I love to walk around in, and just getting back to my roots here in my hometown. And so thinking back on this, now that I'm posting this episode, this talk with Jad, so just thinking back on the dichotomy between my life in San Luis Obispo versus my life in Los Angeles, and the miles and miles of open land and nature so readily available and slow versus the miles and miles of concrete and city that is in Los Angeles. But you might think that I would love slow much more than I do LA for the reason that it has all the land available. But honestly, I love them each individually for their own reasons. So I digress. I'm excited to be home. I'm excited to share this episode, this conversation with you, with Jad Martinez. Please enjoy this episode of the Touching the Trail podcast. Thank you. We just went on a run. So, well, I mean, first, for those who may not know, who is Jad Martinez?
That's a loaded question. I am 37, and I do some running, and... with a love for homesteading, but don't have a green thumb at all. A husband, hopefully father someday.
So we just went on a run. We did like 6 miles or something just from here at your house, which I'm at right now. And it's a beautiful place, actually. Not actually. I mean, it's a beautiful place.
Thanks.
It's great view of Arroyo Grande and the surrounding area. And so what does this, you know, consistent day in, day out rhythm of running provide you, you know, mentally, spiritually, whatever you will, as a, you know, personally?
Yeah, and that's a good question. I mean, like, for my sanity, you know, more than anything else. And I used to be a little crazier in my younger days, and and a lot crazier in my younger days, and then finding something like running that got me to I think rein in my crazy living was a good thing, but now it's just kind of just a part of who I am. So it would be like, you know, putting on shoes or, you know, taking a shower. It's just, if I don't get out and sweat and run, I don't feel normal. So,
Right. I mean, for me at least, it's something that if I don't start my day off with it, I feel like my day is not as full, I guess would be a way to put it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And did this commitment to this, or I mean, love for this sport, this activity, this rhythm, was it always in your life, or did it evolve into what it is today?
No, I mean, this is relatively new. I ran cross country in high school, a little bit of track, and I was mediocre to poor at best. and then took a big long break from running. I would still just run every once in a while, just like to stay in shape throughout college. And then I ran. The way I got back into longer distance running is 2012. We were at a beer festival, and again, going back to living a little crazily, and I made a bet with a friend, a gal that I could beat her in half marathon. That was, I don't know, 6 weeks out, and not realizing that she like one of the fastest gals in the entire area at the time. And so, so I had to jump into training, quickly, and then with a little bit of fitness after that run. And I just kind of stumbled into running again. I had a friend of mine that, great athlete at Poly, was turning 50, and we were having a pint, and he said he was going to run 50 miles for his 50th birthday. And this is 2012-ish after that half marathon. And I thought he was absolutely insane. I was like, you're doing 50 miles? Like, who the hell would run 50 miles? Like, that's even a thing? You know, he's like, no, it's like a thing you run on trails. And so we were catching up after the race, And he said it was the worst event he's ever done. He said he's like never running again. And it was awful. Like everything about it was awful. And I was like, that sounds interesting. You know? And then I signed up for like the same race the next year. And I'd never ran a marathon.
So the fact that this guy said it was awful drew you to it?
Yeah, like it was, I don't know what about that it was, but it sounded like something different, something challenging, something that would like hurt, you know. And there's like one of my, like my running crushes is a guy like Jared Campbell, like out of Utah, like incredible runner, but like, very underrated. Like, I mean, he's won Barkley like 3 times and, you know, all these big mountainous races. Nolan's. Yeah. I mean, the guy's just a stud, you know, super, super humble. And when I listened to a podcast he was on where he said we live in a very, very air-conditioned world. Like our life is very air-conditioned, you know, and so getting out and doing something challenging and, you know, is I think important. I think it's definitely in our DNA. And so for whatever it was worth, I was like, yeah, it sounds, let's give it a try, you know, something different. And it sucked. My first race sucked. It was everything he said. It was horrible. It was, oh man, I was a train wreck. I could like barely run downhill. And I was hooked, man. I was hooked. It was like for the first time felt like, you know, stripped pretty raw, beat up. Just everything about it was like the last thing I wanted to do. But then at the same time was everything I wanted to do.
Right. You know? Gave you a glimpse of something you hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
Side of yourself, side of society, of life that.
Yeah. Strips you down a little bit.
Right.
Know? Yeah. Experienced. Yeah. Like kind of. For me, showed me a little bit kind of like who I was, you know,
right.
Good and bad.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, as trail runners, as people who spend a lot of time out in the outdoors did you always have a love for outdoors? Was the outdoors an important component of your growing up or anything like that? I mean, like for me, as you know, I've been camping my whole life, mm-hmm. in Boy Scouts and everything. So I've always had that kind of inculcated in me. And so taking the step to trail running was, in a sense, you know, logical for me. Experiences in the outdoors play a part in your kind of evolution, personal evolution?
Definitely not to that same extent. You know, I mean, we've gone camping and stuff growing up. I play outside all the time, right. You know, growing up, but not not to the extent like now, like, you know, spending a day out running around the mountains or something. I have always enjoyed the outdoors, I've gone on some hiking trips and things of that nature, but never really like, I guess if we were to look at like a progression of, you know, going back to the trails or something. I mean, I've always enjoyed being outside, but not to that extent, like to justify running around, you know, some middle of jungle for 28 hours or something, you know. I obviously enjoy the outdoors.
So. Right, of course. And you consistently place very well in races. And so I'm curious what some of the kind of key aspects of your running, your training, if we want to call it that, that you focus on to keep yourself successful and, you know, in the sport.
I mean, I'd say it's like relatively speaking, you know,
right.
I enjoy.
You do better than me. Do better than a lot of people.
Everybody has their own, you know, goals.
Right. Of course.
You know, and I like enjoy the process, you know, like I don't come from like a super formal background. And so like, my training partner like was, you know, on the world team for Germany and like, you know, I mean like super high-end athlete, and I'm not that. And I like the idea of like incremental progress. I think it's pretty important, like just for me in general. And I like the idea of like setting goals and working towards them and looking at what my weaknesses are for in running, which are a lot. and figuring out like how can you kind of tweak training or you know, lifestyle changes, whatever it is, to kind of get a little bit better, you know. And it's kind of neat to see. I don't really enjoy the racing as much as I enjoy just like the actual training, the actual process of getting up every day. And to your point, you know, like making running a part of just kind of who I am. And I think the racing is a way to kind of test is what you're doing working. And I do enjoy, you know, components of it, but I think the process for me has always been really important. Looking at what I suck at again, which is there's a lot. I'm slow. Honestly, man, slow as molasses. Like if we were to go sprint, I couldn't beat damn near anybody out there. But like working, like figuring out how do you tweak things to get a little bit better and a little bit better, and how do you build on that? And so, so that's what I enjoy doing.
And I think that takes a lot of you know, just listening to your body and being aware and being present with what you feel and you don't feel. Because I think it becomes very easy for a lot of us as athletes or people, I mean, it doesn't matter what you do really, to just take the time to take a step back and say, you know, what can I improve? You know, I think it's hard for people, for me, you know, to see actually what I can work on. Because a lot of times we just like keep going with where we're at and we're like, yeah, it's working.
Yep. Yep. That's an interesting point. You know, I think, yeah, I mean, I've been working with a coach for a year and a half now. Yeah, Joe Yuhan, and he's been really helpful. Yeah, really helpful with one, we started like working on like stride analysis because I have the worst stride that you could possibly imagine. Like, just do not look at me and take that as an example of how to run. And so I started with like sending him a video, and he broke down, sent me some information basically saying, well, you know, it makes sense that you can run for a long time because your stride's okay for shorter, slower stuff. But basically everything about what you're doing is wrong. so it's we got a chance to work on a lot of different things and kind of through that relationship, like learning like polarization in training, you know, running really hard for a short amount of time and then really, really easy for a certain time. And I wasn't doing that. You know, I ran just, I like to run. So I would go out and go run in the mountains for a few hours and all at kind of this moderately to hard pace, not realizing that that's probably the worst type of training for being able to get better. You know,
right.
To get better, you need to run really, really hard for really short periods of time. And then really, really, really easy, way easier than I was running for the vast majority of your time. And so, so kind of learning those kind of things been really helpful. Sorry, that's my cat. Pablo says hello.
He's been hanging out, walking around. And so how do you, you know, you travel for work, you have a, you know, responsibilities, obviously. So how do you keep your body healthy week to week, day to day, month to month? You know, what are you focusing on that keeps you, you know, able to go out and run? You know, what in terms of, you know, sleep, hydration, nutrition, any functional exercises or cross training or yoga type things, kind of run down that side of your life.
Yeah. I mean, to become a better runner, you have to run. I mean, that's by default, you know, but I think it's also important to try to be an athlete first and run. I mean, there's a reason why, like, what is it, 80% of runners get injured or something every year, you know, it's like no other sports like that. Like, that doesn't make any sense. I do like body weight exercises. I think nutrition's important. We were talking before, I was vegan for several years, vegetarian a few years after that, and kind of got back into meat recently. And I found out that the less I eat of like processed foods, flour based, and keep things simple, the better I feel. And so working towards it, I'm not really great at it, but like working towards better nutrition. Love getting in the sauna. I think that's been helpful too.
Yeah, they have a sauna right here on their property.
Yeah, we should jump in later. Do yoga intermittently. I used to do a lot. I don't do it as much these days. Like rolling, we got some like rollers and stuff as well. I mean, sleep's important too. I mean, I try to sleep as much as I possibly can. I mean, if I can get 8 hours, 8+ hours, I'll take it. I think little things and working on it, and just again, incremental kind of small changes have been really helpful to. I've been, knock on wood, I've been pretty lucky with injuries and stuff. I haven't really had anything that's knocked me out of training in the last 6 years.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, I think in terms of like listening to our body, like I said earlier, it's like the more you do it, and it's amazing to me how quickly, you know, when you do something quote unquote wrong or like, you know, get less sleep, say, or eat, you know, for me, I don't eat that much bread, flour, like you were saying, gluten. When I do eat like, you know, a big bagel or something, I feel so heavy afterwards so quickly, or, you know, don't sleep that well or don't get that much sleep the night before. I really notice it immediately, or eat, you know, a sugary thing that I don't normally do. It's your body tells you what it does and doesn't need and what you did wrong and right so quickly. And it just takes the time to like, you just need to take the time as a person to like listen to it, be there to see what it's telling you.
Absolutely. And to each their own, you know, I mean, whatever works for you, you know, is figuring that out, I think, is really important. I think running wise, life wise, right. You're like a diet. I mean, yeah, to your point, absolutely. I mean, like figuring out what works for you and stick to that, you know, keeping an eye on what feels good, what doesn't feel good, you know. And if I eat these things, I feel better. If I eat these things, I don't. So right. Maybe I shouldn't eat those things, yeah. You know, as much.
And not being afraid to, I guess, innovator, try new things and see, you know, if you could take another path that works even better, you know, not just stick with what you've been doing because it might not be as good as you can be doing.
Agreed.
You know, so you stated on your blog that I read after completing the Grand Slam to bring it back a couple years, you stated, I chose to tackle this event solely because it would be hard. You also stated there at the end of the post, which you brought up kind of a little earlier about Jared Campbell. You stated, quote, today's society is so focused on taking away the pain through medication or intoxication that we rarely experience the true bliss that comes from battling through intense uncomfortableness. And I think both those quotes are very beautiful ways to put what you're conveying. And I'm curious how you learn, you know, how you engage with in your running and in your life with the, I mean, to me, the teacher, the guru, or whatever you want to call it, that discomfort can be for us as runners, as people, the challenge can be for us when overcoming that and working through it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's important to do hard stuff. as eloquent as that is, like, and for me, the more I do things that are difficult or challenging, and doesn't have to be exercise specific, but something I'm not good at, you know, working to be a little better at what I'm not good at, is like, it's kind of like polarization, right? Like, I mean, if you don't, I don't feel, it's really nice to feel nice and warm and cozy when you've been outside and it's freaking freezing, right? You know, and like, so you feel that, you know, warmth. And same way, I think with like, for me, with like, with long distance running, it's, there's few times I get that opportunity to really be stripped down to feel about as raw as you're going to feel, you know, in a contained environment that, you know, you're not going to probably die in. But that kind of window of like sucking, you know, I always say like from like mile 80 to 100, you know, like, is where like things get real. And I haven't had that opportunity much. But I think everyone needs to experience that, however you need to get there and whatever you do. I think it's a great way to build humility. I think it's a great way to build awareness. And you really kind of, for me, I get a snapshot of during those times of like who I truly am. And it's about as honest as you can possibly be with yourself, you know? And again, I think the way that life is, for some reason, like we're working to be more comfortable. Like everything is built to be more comfortable. And I think that does us a disservice. You know, I think we're built to be uncomfortable, you know, and being uncomfortable a lot, I think, makes those comfortable feelings really, really good.
Right. Yeah. The guy I had on the podcast last week, Sanjay Rawal, he directed the film 3100 Run and Become. And he was talking, he's a follower of Sri Chinmoy, which we talked about this a little earlier before we started recording. And he, in the film, he covered he documented the Mount Hiei, don't know how to pronounce that exactly, monks in Japan. And when he spoke with the head monk there, he kind of explained to me that you know, this aspect of the student-teacher relationship that you learn as, you know, disciples, if you want to call it that, followers, devotees of a certain path, is that you approach that teacher with humility. And the more you do that, the more you open yourself up to what they have to teach you, the more you can imbue those teachings in yourself. And I think the suffering or the discomfort, the challenge does, like you said, teach us humility. But I think the more we approach it with humility and kind of be there and say, okay, this is what I'm here for. This is, or not, you know, here for, but this is what's going to happen, and like open yourself up to it. I think the more, after you step off that race or after you step off that run for the day, the more you can imbue what that teacher of challenge, of discomfort, has to give to you.
That's an interesting way of putting it. Yeah. I think we need more humility in our lives. You know, I think it's, you know, people say it can be a sign of weakness. You know, I think absolutely the opposite. You know, I think it allows me to be a little more aware, you know, of what issues I need to be tackling, you know, or what weaknesses I have, you know, or even just work with other people too. You know, it's like what helps me be a little more empathetic, you know, and putting myself in people's shoes, where they're coming from. And I mean, the world today is especially with polarization and politics and things of that nature. I think, you know, humility could be helpful for, I think, a lot more of us if we were to embrace it.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, during a race, during a run, during a challenging experience, whatever it may be, how do you kind of work with and through the voices in your head that I'm sure you have? I mean, maybe you don't. Ed Ettinghausen, which I had on a couple weeks ago, said he doesn't after his many, many races. The voices in your head that say, you know, this sucks, let's quit, let's, you know, go back home, let's go to the couch, let's get back to the TV, let's get back to the ice cream or whatever, you know, it hurts. All those different things that we work through, well, most of us work through.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good question. And everyone has it. I don't know. I mean, good for Ed. But if you don't have feelings of like this, I can't believe I'm paying to do this right now, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, at, you know, 3 a.m, you know, stumbling around, trying to open up your 40th goo. I've always tried to stick to controlling what I can control. And with longer distance running is just the variables that I know that I can control, whether it's nutrition or hydration or, you know, focusing on my form or, you know, worrying about running just to the next aid station. But just trying to stay within the moment, not really trying to think as much other than just really controlling the variables I control and using that as a way to keep moving forward. Because I can get in my head a lot and the more I do that, the worse things tend to get. So, again, trying to turn off as much as I possibly can and just stick to the basics. And then, I mean, you know, running's running. So hopefully over time, you know, just kind of keep moving. So.
Right. And how do you apply the lessons that you learn in running, in this activity, in this sport, to the other aspects of your life?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think running's taught me so much more, I think, about life than just about running, you know, is I think controlling what you can control is really important, you know, and so not worrying about everything else that's out there, you know, and being able to look at goal setting, incremental progress, and realizing that things aren't as easy as just, you know, snapping your finger, you know, whether right. it's you know, whatever that might be in life, and that you have to work at it, and there's no shortcuts, you know, and it's going to suck probably more than it's great, you know, and you're going to fail way more than you succeed, you know, and I think that's, for me, has been, it's, and that humility piece, you know, I think is really important, is like realizing that, like, again, you're going to have to work, and like uncomfortable is okay.
Right.
And if anything, it's pretty good.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, as a college student, we were talking about this in our run a lot of it, actually, my experiences with the entrepreneurship club. And one thing I've noticed is this, you know, this, and you see it in the outdoor industry as well and culture as well, this like idea of perfection or of just what you present on social media and to the world of like #van life, right? That it looks perfect.
Right.
But it's not, you know, it sucks. It's hard. It's not going to be perfect 24/7. Or the entrepreneurship side of things, which I have realized and experienced a lot in the past few months, this quarter, of, you know, #hustling or #world domination or whatever it is, of like these perfect entrepreneurs, you know, who are making the world a better place through technology and all this stuff, Silicon Valley types. And that's what a lot of the people in that club are like obsessed with. And in my conversations with them, in conversation with the friends in, you know, who are outdoorsy or, you know, do climbing or cycling or running, whatever it may be, or who want to become a content creator, that word or phrase now, or whatever it may be, you know, this idea of like, it'll just, I'll get that magic bullet, that magic button, that magic switch where it's like, oh, it'll happen someday. I don't have to put that much work in, or I'll get that magic break, that luck.
Right.
But I think with ultra running specifically, and that's what big reason why I love the sport is on social media as well as in real life, you get that rawness, you get that intimate personal reality of what it means to run 50K, 100 miles, whatever it may be, go out for a daily run, you know, training or whatever you want to call it, that it's not perfect. And I think that has really established, in, within me at least, you know, an ability to be okay with the fact that what I want to accomplish is going to take a long time and a lot of work. But it's just like running 100, you know, you just got to be there and be present and be willing to put that work in.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, I trained. We were talking about, I raced like my second marathon this past year in the end of 17, and like I mean, I do not come from like a formal training background. And so I looked at like just in preparation for that race, just over a few months, and I didn't have a single good workout. Like literally leading up to the race, it's like, man, like if you were to put on paper, you're like, dude, this is not good. You know what I mean? Like not like meeting paces. It's just like, didn't feel too good. I'm like, gosh, you know, usually you nail something. And I'm like, I didn't have a single good workout, like in like 3 months, you know? And, but the race turned out okay, you know? And like, and I think with life, you know, it's like, you don't have to knock everything out of the park. You know, you just got to show up, you know, and hopefully that effort you put out on a day-to-day basis, you know, becomes, you know, exponentially greater as you progress.
Right. So, you know, are you like logging like how you feel after each workout or something, or like how the workout went, or, you know, how are you judging whether it was good or bad looking back?
Yeah, you're right. Like I have some subjectivity. So like, hey, how did I feel? I feel good. Did I feel not good? You know, okay. And then like objective metrics. So whether it was, you know, a certain pace we're trying to hit, or my heart rate while I was running a, you know, certain pace, right, or whatever that workout might be. So kind of a little bit of balance just when I look back over the course of like, you know, a year and say like, all right, well, there was a lot more good days than bad days, you know, feeling wise. And then also, you know, kind of trying to marry that up with like objectivity, like, all right, are you actually progressing, or you felt really good, but you ran like crap, you know? So, so looking at kind of from both ways, I think, but it's the subjectivity piece is just, you know, there's a lot of factors, you know, you're tired, you know, stressed out or whatever it is, you know, long day at work. But the objective metrics, I tend to be pretty slow on workouts, man. Like, they were talking, like, my buddy Thomas, who's racing right now in Phoenix.
Desert Solstice.
And he's, pardon me, but I'm going to look and see if he just broke. He did. He just broke the 50K
awesome.
American record for 50 to 54 by a minute and a half.
Wow.
Yeah. And so he's
50 to 54 years, like age-wise.
Yeah. Uh-huh, yep. On a track running around all day. And he's helped as well, because he's such an incredible runner and very like objective, sticking to times, and I mean he's like a metronome when we run. But man, that guy kicks my butt day in, day out, like on track, tempo runs, like everything. I'm like, yeah, and he's like 50 years old, you know. It's like, just by default I should, you know, be able to be faster. But it's fun to, I think, get your butt kicked. I think it's important for me. Keeps me humble, keeps me grounded, and keeps me realizing like there's still something to look forward to when I get right. over, you know?
So. Yeah. My dad, 53 years old, he can make me suffer more than I've suffered in a race on a daily run.
Do you guys run together?
Yeah. When I'm at home, we run
cool.
pretty much every day. Oh, unless okay. we're like, let's not run today. we need some space or something.
Yeah.
Which is usually after he's like worked for like 4 days in a row.
Right.
And his, like, I talked about it a little bit with you, like when we were on the run together. He works as a hammerhead crane driver down on the docks in Port of Los Angeles, or Port of Long Beach, actually. But it's like the Port of Los Angeles Long Beach port complex or something.
Okay.
So it's pretty much all the same thing. And his job is, I mean, he's never done a conventional, you know, ultra, you know, he's never run a 50K, never run a race, running race or anything like that. But he's as tough and as, you know, as committed as anybody that I've seen or talked to who does run races. And I think it's because he has that, I mean, his job is an ultra, you know, the right, focus right. and the dedication right, and right. the kind of the, I can't find the word, but I guess like just the, every day he has to be right there for 8 hours a day in the moment, or else, I mean, he could kill somebody with
absolutely
carrying 30 ton cans off a ship and loading them on a truck or the opposite way.
Yeah. Right. Right.
You know, and with that, I think that gives him skills in running, and I think running gives them skills for that, you know. And like we were talking about earlier, that interchange between work and running and family relationships and friends and everything else, you know, I think it all plays a part.
Yeah that's interesting. Like if I always think, like, if racing wasn't involved, like, would I still want to run? And like, absolutely, you know, like, I mean, I don't think racing is like a component, you know. Sure, it helps you to goal set and to work towards something. And yeah, you want to, like, you know, kind of eat the pie, you know, or eat the cake at the end of the party, right. You know. I get that, you know. But man, I mean, like, it's for me, it's never really been like the focus, you know? I mean, I enjoy it, but man, I would much rather just get out and go out and grind or go out and disappear in the mountains for, you know, several hours. Like, get much more joy, you know, out of that than having to, you know, put a race on a calendar and like check the box, you know?
Right.
So that is pretty cool that he hasn't ran. Does he ever want to run a race? Or
yeah, he wants to. Okay. He wants to, definitely. Like, if it works out with work, he'd love to come to Born to Run next year. And I'm telling him you should do the 50K.
Yeah,
you
know? Absolutely.
But it's tough, you know, with his job and everything, mm-hmm. and like just the toll it takes on his body.
Sure.
You know, like we talked about when we were running.
Yeah.
But I think when he retires, he'll definitely run some races and run some in some locations he's been dreaming of hitting up.
Very cool. Well, Born to Runs, that's one heck of a way to get entrance to the racing culture.
Right, right, right.
Yeah, cool.
Like my story is from, you know, from when I went this year, he was very enthralled, I would say. So let's move in a little into, you know, because I am interested into your homesteading aspect of your life that you wanted to kind of touch on. And for me, it seems, at least from our conversations before and during this recording, that running is a way to get in touch with yourself, with nature, with what's going on around you and within you. And so is homesteading and this like gardening and planting and, you know, chicken farming or raising aspect of your life, is that similar? I mean, what's this kind of exchange that you have going on?
Yeah, man. I mean, and we have to preface it because I suck at all the above, right? So I'm not doing good at any of this stuff on the homesteading side. Yeah, we've got some chickens, and I think it's just something different that I have like no skill at whatsoever. And I think it's really neat to be able to try something different. And again, I love being outside, and we have a little bit of property where we can kind of play around with this idea of, growing our own food. You know, maybe we talked about maybe like a permaculture forest thing kind of in the future, like a food forest. I'm not sure if my wife's going to be too happy with that, but, I enjoy getting dirty. I enjoy the idea of like being able to work on something and maybe that thing gets a little bit better. And just the idea of kind of creating, a little bit more like sustainable living here, I think is kind of neat. I mean, I don't think we'll ever be able to grow enough food that we can eat, you know, eat here on our own. It's just something I really enjoy. Minus gophers and deer, that tear up all of our food all day long. So I need to figure out how to tackle that. I do enjoy it. It's different. So,
and what was, I mean, you grew up in Berkeley, I think you said, right? Or Oakland area, and you went to school in Pepperdine, down in the Santa Monica Mountains, Malibu area, and you lived in SLO for a little bit too, right? Mm-hmm. And now you're in Arroyo Grande and this homesteading side of your life. And how did that come about? How did that evolve?
That's a great question. I have no idea. You know, because I don't come from that background. You know, we lived in like a Pinole, a little town like 10 minutes east of Berkeley. And I think I had a little vegetable garden when I was growing up, and one of our neighbors did some gardening, but it was never like a part of my life or anything. I just think it's kind of neat that you can go outside and you got eggs because chickens, you know, created it, and you can work with them to get compost and you can grow some food. We have some area to do it in. And I just kind of really like it. Maybe it's the Mexican side of me coming out. I don't know what it is, man, but like, it's different. It's challenging. I'm really not good at it. And maybe that's, you know, a component to it as well, you know?
Right. That, like, you were drawn to running for the same reason, that it provided a challenge, something to work on, something to work through.
Right. Right. And it makes sense. And you can only control certain things, right? You know, I mean, like, the weather turns bad, you know, what are you going to do? You know, so it's kind of interesting. You have similar challenges, like, all right, well, why aren't the chickens laying as many eggs as they were laying before? You know,
right.
Okay, well, do you need to tweak like the amount of food they're eating, or, you know, like, do we need to open up their space more, or, you know, why aren't these seeds germinating because they did the last time we did it, you know, or why are these damn gophers eating up all of my turnips but they don't like the carrots, you know? Like, and so I think it's just kind of like little tweaks and challenges that, yeah, it kind of makes sense. I guess it aligns with, you know, racing or running.
So. Right. It's ever changing, like running and other aspects of life. There's a constant betterment or improvement that you can work on and and kind of play with and work through.
Yeah, yeah, agree.
So my dad sent me this question, which we were talking about a little before the show, because I was trying to decode what he wrote. And he's writing a book right now called The Stranger in the Woods about, I'm sure those listening have heard some semblance of this story of this guy who lived in the forest for like 27 years alone and was finally caught because he was stealing food from campsites in the surrounding areas. And but he lived in some semblance of the word, you know, very stoic, independent lifestyle. And I think with ultra running and I want to read this book too once my dad is finished with it. It seems really interesting. And with ultra running, with running in general, just the sport of, you know, putting one foot in front of the other, the activity of doing that with this homesteading aspect of your life. How do you think that, like, if you want to call it stoic, you know, just this independent, very focused, very dedicated kind of nature or side of yourself just affects you and shapes you and plays in your life?
Yeah. I think for me, the best days are like a early morning long run on a Saturday, getting up at before the butt crack of dawn, you know, and then spending the rest of the day outside, whether it's pruning trees or, you know, chopping wood or trying to get the damn gophers to get away from my, you know, plants. But like just spending an entire day outside, like the entire day, you know, and then just being gutted at the end of that day. You know, like, yeah, like just dirty and, you know, shower. And it's the best sleep ever, you know, like, and it's such a great, for me, it's such a great way to spend time. I really enjoy that. And there's got to be something in our DNA, you know, that begs us to do those types of things, you know? And so the more time I can spend outside, the more time I can spend getting dirty or actually just doing something with my hands, like the happier I am.
Right. Yeah. I've always loved spending time in the outdoors. I don't know if homesteading is in my future per se or farming. Or
I don't know if it's going to be mine it. Either. Yeah.
But I completely understand that. And I would say, yeah, I think that's a common person or, like, you know, character attribute for a lot of people who are willing to put in the time to spend so much time in the outdoors with, you know, various endurance sports that kind of demand the time that you necessary to be not even successful or like winning race or anything, just to be trained and do well and have fun and just enjoy it instead of, you know, not be able to do it at all or anything. You know, it's that kind of relationship with nature, with the outdoors, with the dirt, with the sun, with whatever it may be, is, I think, an important aspect of falling in love with and just being a runner, a cyclist, a climber, somebody who just spends time outside.
Yeah, if you're going to go run 100 miles or 20 miles or whatever it might be, right, if you're going to spend a day out there, you know, running, you sure as hell better enjoy being outside and being in nature. You know, if you have problems getting dirty, you know, you're probably not going to love trail running too much, you know? And so I think it definitely goes hand in hand that you're the people that spend that kind of time outside would migrate probably towards, you know, events like that, you know,
right,
spending 20 plus hours running around a mountain somewhere, you know, which doesn't make any sense when you think about it like that. But yeah.
So you mentioned to me on our run that you, before moving to the San Luis Obispo area, you had driven through like once in your life. And so how does this area, the Central Coast, provide for both your homesteading aspect of your life, your personal life, just your enjoyment here, and your running aspect of your life?
Yeah, man. I always say we're like the most underrated area. You know, I think outside of like Oprah saying it's the happiest city or whatever in the world. you know, you've got everything you could ever want for someone that's outdoors. You got trails out of your backyard in San Luis Obispo. You said you just run up Bishop's Peak the other day. You've got any type of ocean-based activity, water-based activity, if you like to surf or, you know, whatever you want to do in the water. And you've got
climbing.
Rock climbing. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you've got climbing. I mean, you've got dunes if you're into that kind of stuff as well. I mean, really.
And lots of them.
lots of them. Yeah. If you like the outdoors, like, there might not be a better place, like 300 and something days of sunshine a year. I mean, the weather couldn't be any better. And the people, you know, I mean, it's a very outdoorsy, like, kind of down to earth, salty earth kind of people around here too, which I've come to love. And the pace is like, pardon the pun, but it's like slower, you know, it really is. And so I think it adds like quality to the years here for sure. Like, it just, it's nice and it's busy, you know, been traveling for work or stressful and come back here. I mean, like they say people come here, and this is where we live, but people come here actually for vacation. So it makes sense. I mean, like if you like the outdoors, man, there's not a lot of better places out there.
Right. Yeah. I love it here. And it's been a great experience and place to have my college experience in. You know, it's been, like you said, I mean, I think the access to all these various activities that you can pursue in the outdoors is, I mean, we talked about it in my run, that in my choosing of colleges, that was one of the prime factors of was trail running locations in where I was going to go to college.
Can't believe that. Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's, I think, like we were saying earlier, just acknowledging and like figuring out what's important in your life and focusing on those is one of the key aspects of being happy, I guess you can say.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I was just telling you earlier in the room, I spent a couple days in LA and realizing that I don't think I could ever live there. The concrete jungle, you know, I think I ran for like 5 miles and didn't see like, you know, even like a tree barely, you know, and like, so, I mean, I'm just got really lucky that we kind of stumbled into this area, you know, I mean, just come to absolutely love it. I mean, when you can walk outside and go hit a trail, you know, in a few minutes, and then that afternoon, if you want to go surf, you know, right. Or go wine tasting later on, I mean, like you got that opportunity. It's pretty cool.
Right. Yeah. I do have to defend my hometown. LA has some incredible running locations in the vicinity.
That
granted,
is true.
It takes longer than a few minutes to get there.
That is
a few
true.
Hours, maybe.
Right.
But, you know, an hour, a couple hours, but it, to me, you know, the different aspects of my life. I love LA for different reasons. And I love slow, but I think either way, it's about that ability to explore aspects of myself, anybody's self. With LA, it's like the cultural aspect, just like the city aspect. Yeah. With here, it's the nature aspect that I using kind of angles that I wouldn't have explored normally. Meaning, you know, go out for a run here and some great trails and or a climb or a cycle in LA. Go. We were talking about before we started recording, go see a movie at some incredible theater, you know, whatever it may be.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, I shouldn't knock LA. I went to school there. You know? Yeah. And plus their trails are pretty fun. I mean, between like Sean O'Brien and the Malibu Creek State Park,
right.
Or, you know, you got the Angeles Forest out there as well. I mean, so yeah, there's definitely a lot of rain to be had down there as well. So
right.
I shouldn't knock it.
So I have three, as I call them, motivationals that I like to finish the show off with, and they're kind of the toppers. And they're short questions, but I think they're really, really important. So first up is, who motivates you?
I get, and I'm running specific, I guess, for this one, but older people. Yeah,
in general.
As well. Yeah, but I think older people in...
So you?
I know we talked about that too. I know, like a dinosaur. Older people, like in the running community. And I mean, I run because I absolutely love it. And I want to do it for the rest of my life. And it gets me super excited to see like Western States, you know, and, when, you know, Gunhild Swanson, you know, finishes, you know, in under 30 hours, you know, or some of these athletes that are out like 70 plus years, you know, like going out there and still hitting the trails every day. I mean, like, I can't wait to be that old person, you know, that's running around. And so it excites me and it motivates me that hopefully, you know, this can be like a lifelong, you know, journey.
Right. And what are, if it's plural or is, if it's one singular one, what are your favorite books? Most influential or just fun to read or just ones that you just love to see on a shelf and pick up?
Yeah, I've done. I mean, I do like some running books. There's some. I mean, there's like Born to Run and things of nature, you know. And I did read Running with the Kenyans, and then I don't remember the other name of his title, but it's, and I'm gonna just gut his name. It's like Adhiranon Finn or something. But he writes about the Japanese Ekiden as well. Like it's the Japanese. Relay racing, essentially, and like that culture and how that whole like interplay works with Japanese marathon running and the Ekiden's probably not the right way to pronounce it from running perspective. And then I've been reading it should be in today, I think, but I just finished Tribe by what is his name, Sebastian Junger. So I think he wrote, like The Perfect Storm too, or something like that. But he's got another book coming out called War. Looking forward to reading as well.
Okay. Awesome. I love to get like a record that I could always return to for the guests of what books they're reading, because I have a massive collection of texts. And finally, do you do any meditation?
I don't do any formal meditation. I do like yoga. I do spend a lot of time in the sauna. And so sometimes it's mostly a podcast, but sometimes just not. I mean, obviously, you know, spending time on the trails is a form of meditation. You know, I don't listen to music or anything when I run. And I think that kind of selfish time on the trails has definitely been helpful for me. So I don't have like a formal meditation day-to-day process, but I think I get my fix by, you know, at least a combination of those three things.
Right. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show, Jad. I had a great time chatting with you. I had a great time running with you and hanging out here at your house. We're recording in the kitchen, and I hope you did too.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
Awesome. And that was that, episode 155 with Jad Martinez. If you want to find out more about Jad and follow him on what he does on his adventures and his runs and his day-to-day life, you can follow him on his blog, read his blog, jadgottherunns.com, J-A-D-D, gottherunns.com. You can also follow him on social media, on Instagram and on Twitter, at jadgottherunns, and then on Facebook, his personal profile, Jad Martinez. If you want to delve more into what Touching the Trail is up to, you can head on over to the website, touchingthetrail.com, read the writings, check out the resources, and sign up for the Touching the Trail Weekly, the newsletter that goes out every Friday. And if you ever have any questions or comments or just want to talk, feel free to reach out to me via the contact form on the website. You can also follow us on social media at Touching the Trail on Instagram, at Touch the Trail on Twitter, and the Touching the Trail page on Facebook. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to the show and share it out with your friends. Spread the word to your family, your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends, everyone, so that we can build this tribe. If you're enjoying the show every week, please leave a review. It really does let me know that you're out there, that you're listening, and that you're loving what I put out every week, and it helps spread the word as well. And if you want to help support Touching the Trail, you can go to touchingthetrail.com/donate to donate to the show. You can do however much you want, but as I've mentioned before in other episodes, this website, this company, this podcast is built and based in the Buddhist concept of dana, of giving, of generosity. And so this tribe can only continue and can only grow with your support. As a college student, I want to make this sustainable and a lasting endeavor. So please support me in that effort and do a monthly recurring donation of however much you wish, even just $1, on touchingthetrail.com/donate. You can also go to targetreleaserecovery.com to pick up your very own Basecamp and Peak. Functional, affordable, unique, and handmade deep tissue massage tools. Find out more information about all of those things via the links in the show notes. And now, leaving you this week, please remember to just fall in love with the simple act of putting one foot in front of the other, as Jad does. And always remember to go far, go further. I will see you all next week on the Touching the Trail podcast. Thank you. The Touching the Trail podcast.